One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thank you for tuning back into the show. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Dave and Bobby. How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up, man?
Woo! What?
Bobby's excited. I heard that one.
Of course I'm excited, man. We're all living. We're life. We can breathe. We can walk out in the sunshine.
Just stop.
There's life and love and laughter.
Oh, God. Are you going to start posting that on Facebook and Instagram? You're the only you have.
Let's go outside and just skip. Let's just skip down the street.
I'll definitely skip that idea. So me and Dave just did a show together at a club last Saturday. Let me just start off by saying this. The green room at this club is seldom used. Probably because they painted it key lime green, like hurt your eyes green. Yeah. It is seldom used.
Here's how seldom used it is. I've been going to this club on and off for years. I only just found out they even had a green room like a month ago.
Well, I do use it because, I mean, I like talking to people, but before my thing, I have this ritual where I get into the zone. It involves pacing and enunciating. And let's just say that, like, right next to the entrance of a comedy club, the last thing you want to see is a largish man wearing all black pacing back and forth going, enunciate, enunciate. I saw my reflection in the window. I saw my reflection in the window. So I like to have a little privacy, so I do use the green room. And this particular time, I walked into the green room of this club before me and Dave were going to go on stage. And first, the thing that hit me like a punch in the nose was this overwhelming smell of Dorito dust. It just, it like they had been pumping the shit into the room
like
through
you're
a hose.
In the factory.
Yeah. See, this is what's making you confused. It's not Dorito dust. It's Dorito dust mixed with like sadness, some broken dreams,
and unwashed fingers. Yes.
Way too much self-esteem for the quality of all that stuff
right.
Mixed into one.
Right. So, anyways, I turn the corner into the green room, and it's a small enough room as it is. There are two flat screen TVs set up, two Xboxes set up, and two little kids playing it with just fucking gallons of Code Red Mountain Dew.
Wow.
And the aforementioned Doritos. So,
and let's be honest about a green room. By definition, you know how you could go into your parents' couch and pull the cushions up and find change? So that's true with a green room of cocaine. Like, that place is covered, just slightly dusted in cocaine, every inch of it.
I think these kids have done it all.
And condoms. But yeah. Anyway, so soiled or not. So anyway, I just kind of stopped. I'm like, oh. And they both give me a look like, get the fuck out of
right.
here.
Yeah.
You just walked into their bedroom.
You're interrupting modern warfare. So like,
how old are these kids?
I'm going to say, Dave, you saw them, what, 12?
12.
Let's go 12.
Yeah, Shores came out to me. I was at the bar, obviously. And Shores was like, dude, the smell of Doritos in the green room. I was like, yeah. So I went to check it out. And he's not lying, dude. It was like a punch in the face of Dorito odor.
Yeah, so anyway,
there's also some rule about a green room, and I don't know what this is, but somebody made this rule in the 1970s, and every comedy club has followed it. No windows. You're never allowed to have a window in a green room.
Absolutely not.
So anyways, I go back to the bar. This is right around the time I'm telling Dave about the Dorito dust smell, and I'm at the bar at the club, and I'm like, in the green room, there's like two little kids in there playing video games. It's wild. Like, they have a whole setup in there. The bartender turns around and staring at me like she wanted to kill me, goes, that's my son, okay? And then she even, like, points at me, gives me a little head nod. You've been warned. Yeah, my son. And first of all, I gave her the most not sorry apology in the world. I didn't even get rid of my smirk. I'm like, all right, sorry. Because I didn't say anything wrong.
No. And that was the thing that kind of took me by surprise. Like, you didn't say anything even derogatory. You were just stating a fact. Hey,
I didn't say, hey, there's these little retard Mexicans in there, little pissants. Fuck them. I hope they die.
Yeah.
See, what you should have done is been like, oh, okay. And then go back to Dave and be like, so I beat the shit out of these little kids in the green room.
Yeah. After I apologized, I was like, sorry about that. Anyway, so I'm holding them down and I'm hitting them in the neck. So, anyway.
Your son sucks at fighting.
Sure, he can win in Mortal Kombat, but not in real life.
Yeah, let's see how those moves translate to the real world. Get over here. So, anyways, first of all, I just want to say I appreciate how hard it is to be a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised by a single parent. I married a single mother. Mm-hmm. I get it. And kudos to you for finding a way to make it work. Obviously, you had to work,
right.
And you had no other arrangements for him. I hope you're a single mother. If there's a dad at home, like, can you watch our son? Fuck that. He annoys me.
Are you kidding me? He just beat me in Modern Warfare. I got to get better here.
So anyways, I'm like, I get it. All right. First of all, you're the one bringing children to a nightclub. I understand you had to work, but that's number one. Number two, we already mentioned the green room doesn't get used often.
Right.
But I am the performer being displaced from the green room I was entitled to. Yeah. So let's also factor that when you're giving me the fucking, hey, that's my fucking son, fuck you.
Yeah.
How about a little, sorry he was in the way.
Yeah.
I was raised with if I did anything to upset another adult, like my dad was first to be like, I am so sorry. Get the fuck in the car.
First of all, that's probably why she's a single mom. But second of all, that's also super frustrating to me. Like, I'm a dad. If I brought my kids somewhere and then all of a sudden we're hanging out and somebody's like, that kind of smells like somebody might have defecated in here, I wouldn't go, that's my son, you don't talk about him that way. I'd be like, I'm so sorry, guys, let me take this kid and change him in the other room. It's not like because that thing came from you, somehow everybody else has to magically warp around them and worship them.
Yeah, and so you're the one that's that turned the green room in a fucking nightclub into a nursery.
Right.
Second of all, though, the two flat screen TVs.
Yeah, you gotta use both of them? Really?
Well, there's two kids in there, but seriously. Like, oh, you can't do a split screen like people have been doing since video games became a thing? Since Pong? So,
although, in all fairness, even if there was one of the televisions free, I don't think we could have withstood the Dorito scent in that room. We would not have hung out in there anyway.
Well, another thing is just the fact that you would bring two flat screen TVs, televisions. What kind of single mom are you? How are you affording all this shit? Two Xboxes, like all this shit. Like, I, again, was raised by a single parent for a time. My dad had to bring me to work sometimes.
Yeah.
The concept of him bringing along a television to plug my Sega into was fucking unheard of. That was that is ludicrous.
To be fair, though, it is a little bit different because back then, to bring a TV anywhere, you needed like one of those Home Depot push carts,
a crane.
Like, loaded up on there. You couldn't just tuck one under each arm.
I was told to bring a book. What is so wrong with telling your kids, all right, mom has to work, you're gonna have to come with me? And again, single mothers find themselves in this predicament all the time. Right. I get that. Is it so wrong to be like, bring a fucking book?
Yeah.
Bring a book or you're going to get bored. I used to have to stay at my dad's office with him until like 9 at night sometimes after he picked me up at like 3 o'clock. And I said I was bored one time. He said, oh, yeah? You know what would be really boring is we were on the fucking street corner and you didn't have a fucking house anymore. Yeah. Shut up. And that was the last time I told him I was bored. I almost see it as like child worship. Like, my child's going to be bored. We need to move all our televisions with me, Xboxes, whatever he wants. Tell him to read a fucking book.
Well, also teach him that when somebody else comes into that room that is supposed to be there, instead of looking at them like, get the fuck out of my room, they should say, oh, excuse me, I'm whatever her name is, son. I'm just here. Would you like us to move over to make some room for you? As opposed to like, hey, get the fuck out. And on your way out, get us another bag of Doritos. We're almost out.
I need to refill my lemonade, please. Come on.
And speaking of child worship, dude, I saw just not more than 3 days ago a girl that had to be 12 or 13 had to be sitting on her mom's lap. Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing.
What?
Yeah. I'm gonna ask for context on that because, you know,
she's a fucking almost grown child sitting on her mom's lap. That's so close to being pushed in a stroller. Was the stroller in the car?
I'm with Bobby on this one.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding. How long did you sit on your mom's lap for, dude? Come on.
Oh, well, that's different. He already did it once today.
Yeah,
if you base the world around what my parents did, it would be a sociopathic madhouse.
You serious?
But no, I didn't do that. But so, I don't see anything wrong with other people doing it.
When Bruce is in junior high, he'll be sitting on Jill's lap?
Sure, if he wants to.
Are you kidding me?
No, why not?
No.
Also, I am going to
say,
that's
ridiculous. That's what's wrong with people.
No. The society we live in, it's definitely a lot more acceptable for a daughter to do that with a mother
100%.
Than for a son.
All right, well, let me throw this one by you. Saw a kid that was definitely 13 in a stroller at the mall.
Did you card him?
How did he fit in the stroller?
He did.
Oh,
his fucking extremities were dragging along the sidewalk next to him.
Now, you want to know what the reality is? He saw a kid with MS in a wheelchair. He's like, look at this 13-year-old in a stroller. Get up and walk, you lazy piece of shit.
What are you putting in ramps for this kid?
No, this kid was in a legit stroller, not
it's
a wheelchair.
Motorized? Come on.
I am aware of what a handicapped person looks like, sir. I'm sitting with two right now. I but this kid was in his stroller playing on his phone, And I almost wanted to, like, take a knee. Like, I wanted to, like, put myself in front, like, Tiananmen Square, that right in front of that stroller with the parents. Like, hold on one sec.
I got a few questions. Did he sprain his ankle and you didn't happen to have a wheelchair lying around?
Yeah,
like,
is there
a weird thing that I don't understand that's totally normal that's going on here?
I need to ask the right questions. Right. I need some answers. But after those are answered, and it is what it looks like, which it probably is, which is your kid is making you push him in a stroller at 13 so he can play on his phone with ease, I want to take a knee, like, bro, next year your peers are going to be hanging out at this mall, and right. if they see you in the stroller, man, it's curtains for your reputation. You are not going to have sex until there will be no college, but a very long time.
We don't have enough danger in our children's lives. I think that's a big problem, because I'll say this, as a parent, when you have a kid, there is this overwhelming biological urge to protect this thing from death. It is an inexplicable, you've never felt it before, I need to make sure this thing doesn't get eaten by a tiger. But there's no fucking tigers anymore. And so now, like, if you're a dad, your main job is to protect your child against his mother's overprotection.
Yeah.
Like, that is your job. You have to be like, no, we're not wrapping him in bubble foam before he goes out to play. No, that's fine, he can get a little sick. No, this. And the problem becomes, if you don't have some kind of moderating influence of that, if you don't have one of the people in the relationship being like, I don't know, maybe covering him in Nerf balls before he goes to school isn't the best way to make sure he stays safe.
You don't know what a daily struggle this is with me, Aaron, and the kid. No, this is a very real thing. It's Christmas time. We're going to go down to the bay to watch the boats with the, all decorated. It's December, near the water, and she's refusing to fucking wear a jacket. Her mother, oh no, you'll be cold. At least put it in the car. And I'm like, no. This is a great area of opportunity to show her what it's like to not listen to you, then be cold. Hey, kiddo, if you're fucking cold and you're ignoring our plea to take the jacket, we're not fucking leaving.
Right.
And then likewise, in the morning when she has to, we make her pack a lunch. She's like, no, I won't be hungry today. She says that because she's, 15 and stupid. Right. So all 15-year-olds are stupid. Let me clarify. Right. But, like,
just too cool to need anything.
Yeah,
right?
I don't need anything. And so her mom, oh, go, but you must pack some food. You'll be hungry. I'm like, no. Perfect. She's asserting she will not be hungry despite not having any food.
Yeah.
Let her see what that looks like once it plays out. And the only thing that I refuse to fucking do that with is she's like, well, I don't need to brush my teeth. I'm like, I fucking pay for that dental work. Get in there and start scrubbing. That comes out of my pocket.
Yeah, that's like the I don't need to get the oil change on the car you bought me. You're like, no. This is maintenance.
This is not the time to teach you in a lesson at my expense.
Yeah. If you're getting cold off the lesson, that's fine. If you blow a motor on that V6, that is not fine.
Yeah.
Ryan, I feel like you're teen shaming is what you're doing right now. Like,
why did shaming become a pejorative? Like, right now it's like, all right, I'm vehemently against body shaming and slut shaming, as it were. But the fact that, like, now, like, for instance, look at our conversation we just had a minute ago, where I'm like, I fucking saw a kid with a stroller. Like, you were joking, but there's so many people like, hey, you don't know his story, man. You don't know. I'm like, sometimes you do. Sometimes you do. And you cannot say anything like, I saw a guy fucking breaking into a vending machine. What an asshole. There will be people like, hey, you're poor shaming, man. You don't know his story. He could be a veteran who's just lost everything. I'm like, oh, wait, now as long as we're making up stories for fucking everyone. Yeah, everyone's a hero.
Yeah.
Must everyone have autism and have just been raped in a war veteran?
Yeah,
because that's,
like,
always their story.
Right, you're like, yeah, there could be a scenario where he's defusing a bomb and they're like, the only thing that can stop this is a Snickers and we don't have a 75 cents.
Right, you don't know his story.
That could be the truth.
You don't know his story.
But I'm going to wager that's not what's going on.
Right. I mean, we have to bring back idiot shaming. We just have to, okay? Because that right now is a big problem. Everyone jumping in to be like, you don't know their story. You know what? Most of the time, it's they're a piece of shit human being.
Yeah.
So let's go back to at least idiot shaming. Let's make fucking being an idiot uncool again, because it's absolutely cool right now. You have people like Floyd Mayweather bragging they can barely read to the delight of his fans. Like, oh, that's badass.
Yeah.
Look at all that money. He didn't know how to read.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. Let's make it a little bit stupid again. Let's go back to making fun of people for not trying or applying themselves.
Well, this goes back to what we were just saying about the overprotective parents, because I have worried about this a bunch with my son. You know, he's an infant now, but when he grows up, like, I'm worried a lot about bullies, but I'm worried that he won't have enough bullies.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it,
Bobby's going to be painting kids.
Yeah, I am. Get that redheaded kid from my Christmas story to come out. If you think
you cry,
it's going to be weird now because he's like 45. But
I heard he doesn't get much royalties from that, so he'll probably take the gig.
Yeah, if you think about it, bullying is the only form of social accountability for children. You know, like, there's a reason you don't show up dressed in your Spider-Man pajamas to sixth grade class.
Right.
And it's because you're going to get bullied. And if you just completely eliminate bullying, I agree. We had way too much bullying in many parts of almost up until very recently. There's way too much bullying. And for some kids, there still is. But there is an element that you need that bullying to maintain that social order so you don't have people grow up to feel so entitled that when they bring their own kids to a comedy green room, they get pissed off when the talent can't use it.
And going back to your bully point about how you need these natural predators, do you know why we can't release Shamu from SeaWorld back into the ocean? Do you know why? Because he's not equipped to handle fucking sharks.
Yeah, I mean, it is like an interesting thing where you're like, man, my kid is never going to have that. Like, I remember numerous times growing up where I was like, that's the way I can't take home from school. I cannot walk that way home from school because I know there's some older kids there and they'll fuck me up.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I made the mistake of chancing it, and sometimes I got fucked up. And like,
sometimes you roll the dice and lose.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the case. And like, having real dangers and learning to navigate an environment, and by real dangers, it's like, those kids weren't going to kill me and rape me. They were just going to rough me up a little bit and steal some of my shit. Fine, that's not a huge danger, but it teaches you to think in a strategic fashion. It teaches you to take responsibility for your own safety and your own life. Whereas if somebody just wraps you in bubble wrap and doesn't let you see anything that's slightly offensive to you, you never learn how to negotiate the world.
Yeah, and that's why you have like overweight 5'4" dorks like yelling out their car at people like, I'll fucking kill you, I'll fuck you up. Based on what? What are you basing that on? I can guarantee you've never taken a punch in your life, and now you're Charles Bronson once you're in your fucking Ford Focus.
What's funny is there's actually, I read a very interesting report from a police captain who was talking about police violence and how it's escalating to the point where now people get shot for nothing, whereas if you look back in time, people still got shot and there was corruption and stuff, but it used to be that if you came at a cop with like a baton or something in your hand, he'd just tackle you and fuck you up or something, but he wouldn't shoot you. And more we shoot those people. We shoot people who have anything. And one of the things he was saying
Hold
is...
Hold up on the we there, man.
Yeah.
On that side.
Sometimes they just have some Skittles and Arizona iced tea.
One of the things that the cop was saying, which I found really interesting, is you have to understand I'm dealing with a new generation of police officers who've never been in a fight.
Oh!
These guys aren't the grizzled Marine veterans who are coming back from Vietnam who look at a guy who points a gun at them and laughs. Like, these are guys who freeze up under tension. Doesn't matter that they're cops. They grew up in a place where they were never hardened to that extent. And so
when
they get slightly threatened, they start unloading their guns. And what we think of is these are highly aggressive officers, and in some ways they are. But if you look at the records of cops who do those shootings, it is that guy. Bobby, it is the guy who's never been in a fight.
Bobby, you don't know their story. You don't know what they've been through. You are pussy shaming.
So Bobby, what you're saying is that police need bullies.
Yes, like the FBI. We'll get the FBI to come bully the police. Pull them over a bunch. You know why I pulled you over?
They show up in their fucking Jeep Wrangler. Like, woo, hey, what's up, girls? Oh, no. Hey, be cool. We're just trying to go to our locker. Oh, I bet you are. Let me help you.
Oh, man. Can we write a script called Cop Bullies?
Oh, yes. Federal Bully Investigators.
I got an interesting question for you guys. It stems around...
Briefs.
Yeah. I had a shitty thing happen last week where my wife and I put down one of our dogs. We had two dogs.
I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, it sucks. Thank you. It's just one of those shitty situations. We put down one of our dogs. He was super old. He was like 16. We had this whole big day for him, send him off right. Then my wife leaves the next morning to go on vacation to Cabo for like 5 days. And that morning, like, literally...
She went on vacation without you?
Well, we have a kid, so you can't really... The kid's nothing we can do. So
I think of a few things.
Oh, yeah. Green room, two TVs, two Xboxes, boom.
Just a bunch of bottles. One of those giant gerbil bottles.
Yeah, exactly.
Get enough Doritos to last him for a week.
As she's getting on the plane, basically, my dog dies. Completely unexpectedly. Ooh. We think maybe she ate something, because she was younger. She was only like 7 or 8. And she dies, and it's super, super sad. So my wife lands... As my wife was getting on the plane, I told her, like, you know, my dog's acting a little weird. It seems like she might be sick or something. And so she gets off the plane. There's nothing I can do. She's in Cabo. if she got back on the plane, came back, the dog is still dead. It's all, yeah. I've already dropped the body off. There's nothing we can do. And so she's like, how's your dog? And I was like, she's great. She's fine. Mm-hmm. She's better, right? And like, yeah, sure. You have to do that. Like, because what is my option? My option is to tell you, oh, hey, you know how you're about to start a 5-day vacation with all your friends, which you really deserve because you work super, super hard. And this
oh,
is
she
our...
didn't go alone. She had friends.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, it was for a friend.
It like... was sounding a little like yeah. there was trouble in paradise.
No, and... no. It was like,
I'm like that marriage is almost over. She's going to Cabo by herself, Dave. We'll talk about this later.
It was one of her friends' like anniversaries.
That's
or something.
Cool.
And I was invited, but it just didn't work out. And what do I tell her? Hey, our dogs are both dead now. Yeah.
Hey,
have fun
about,
5 days.
Think about this while you're on the beach every
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
Think about this while you're sipping that margarita.
Completely unable to do anything about it.
Also, in Cabo, a lot of dogs running around. Yeah.
Bring one back, would you?
And so I spent the next 5 days just lying. Every time she called, she would like FaceTime.
Sure.
And I'd be like, she must be in the backyard. I don't know. She's out there running around. I had to get my family, which kind of like my in-laws live next door, and her mom came to help me with the baby while she was gone. I had to get everybody to lie with me. So it was a group lie that she didn't hear. And I thought to myself, one, you feel dirty as shit. Because if you have an honest, good relationship with your partner, it feels dirty as shit to keep a huge secret from them. At least in my case, I felt like I had to do it for her own good. Have you guys had a case like that where you have had to lie to your partner for their own good?
You know, the first one that comes to mind is like when you're planning a surprise for them or something like that, you know,
yes.
which is... a lot different, yeah. I understand. There's
yeah,
no...
you already played the ace on this hand, Bobby. Nothing we have is going to
yeah.
match the story you've told.
But
for yeah. I hired a fortune teller. To...
My wife does that with me at my behest. I'm like, you know, sometimes assess whether or not I want to know about it. You know, especially when it comes to, like, you know, the issues with the kids.
Right.
You know, that's really, really, before you say anything to me, really think about it.
That'd be great if she used that as an excuse. She's like, on her end, and she was like, no, I didn't change the oil on the car, but you told me not to tell you things, right?
Right. The thing is, sometimes she does the worst of both worlds, though. She'll get a text, and she'll freak out about it, and I'll be like, what's going on? She'll be like, you'll just be upset. I'll be like... No, you get how that's not doing the right thing, right? You get how this is the worst of both worlds.
That's true, because I did have to do the thing where I also couldn't talk to my wife on the phone and be like, no, everything's okay. I just dog I've had for 8 years is totally fine. The creature that changed my life is just doing great. I had to be like, yeah, no, great. Yeah, everything's fantastic. I'm just busy, yeah.
My wife is a worrier, so I do this on many occasions. Like, I have these exterminators that come to my backyard 3 times or 4 times a year because I have, like, tree rats, you
right.
know, and like, rodents in my backyard. It's a big backyard. So they put out like those little boxes that have the little poisons in it.
Yeah.
And before I hired them, they have like the heavy duty boxes where you need like a safe cracker to get through that
yeah.
thing. I bought the ones just from Home Depot that's kind of flimsy plastic.
Yeah.
And when I got home, one of my dogs was holding it in its mouth. It had been ripped open.
Oh,
there was rat poison everywhere.
Jesus.
I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. I don't know if he had gotten to the block yet.
Right.
don't know. You know, he was acting normal. And so Erin calls and she's like, oh, you know, how are the dogs? I'm like, good.
Yeah.
Yo, fine. You know, because she was at work or she was on a trip or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, if she, there's no sense in being like, the dog might die.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, if it dies, I'll cross that bridge when it comes.
Yeah,
to
right.
I was like fucking Lundgren in Rocky IV. If he dies, he dies.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, we're going to weather the storm. And then when it's all said and done, then I'll hit her with the, you're going to laugh. The fucking dog almost died.
Dude, the one I have is not nearly as serious as your guys, but I used to work at a student loan company, and it was in like a, not an industrial park, but like a commercial area.
Yeah.
And a lot of us would park on the street because it was easier than going into the parking lot. And it was street parking, but where we parked was on a curve, and so a lot of cars would come down really fast. So my wife is on vacation with some friends in Germany, and I took her car for the day because her car was nicer than mine, parked on the street. We're all at work, and you hear this loud fucking explosion, crash, whatever. We're all like, what the fuck? So we run outside. Someone had come around the corner fast and clipped 3 cars that were parked on the street. 2 of the cars were like pushed up on the curb. A 3rd car was like upside down.
Wow.
That this guy
That's
had
more
hit.
Than clipping. They
yeah.
smashed
oh,
that
yeah.
thing.
That was my wife's car.
Wow.
It took me a second for it to register. Oh shit, mine's the really fucked up one.
That's
oh,
what it looks like upside down.
Yeah, so she was still on vacation for like 4 more days, so I didn't tell her.
Yeah.
Honestly, because like, what's she going to do?
Well, yeah, what are you going to do?
Be pissed about her car for 4 days?
Yeah. I have one. When Aaron and I first got together, her ex-husband, she was married before she met me, It ended because the guy was like a fucking serial cheater. When he found out her and I were together, he didn't take it well.
Right.
He had moved back to his mom's house in Kansas City. And in order to, I don't know, entrap me, he was sending me Facebook messages through, like, he would set up fake accounts for, like, girls.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and be like, hey, sexy, love your comedy. Let's hook up sometime. Trying to get me to respond.
Right,
so
right.
She could, like, screenshot to his wife. Like, yeah. Look what your new man's doing. He's no better than me. First of all, I'm not going to do that in the first place. Second of all, he didn't realize I could see he didn't change the privacy on the thing. So all these profiles were coming from like his house in Kansas City, like the same neighborhood. You could pinpoint it. And I'm like,
maybe he was just telling all the neighborhood girls about how good you are. And they were just like, oh, man,
you're right. I don't know his story. I do not know his story.
And here's the problem he did, too, is he assumed your weakness was his weakness.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing.
I'm like, ha, it's booze.
Everybody. Yeah, I know. Exactly. If he wanted to get Ryan, he would have sent him a Yuling with the thing, hey, come on out and just, you know, give your life to me. And you probably would have done it. But he went with other women, and that was the problem.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you should have gone with drugs and alcohol, idiot.
Yeah. Dude,
part of me is wondering if Bobby brought this topic up, hiding a secret from someone. He brought this up because he's going to tell us, you and I, right now, that he hasn't been posting these episodes online for the past 7 months.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I ended the podcast. We're just kind of going through the motions.
We're not even – that's not even a – that's a tin can you're speaking into.
I thought Coke was our sponsor.
Why is he going to can? I just thought I had a lapel mic on or something.
So speaking of podcasts, I'm actually doing a guest spot on our good friend Paige Wesley's cult podcast in a
little bit. Paige, if you're listening, me and Dave have not forgotten a phone call. I don't know why you reached out for Bobby first. My feelings are hurt.
Also, if we're mentioning her podcast, she better be mentioning ours. I'm just saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fair trade.
Well, first of all, you guys don't listen to Last Podcast on the Left or have a obsession with the cult Om Shinrikyo like I do.
The first podcast on the left.
Our backup. Are you suggesting I don't have a interest in the occult at all?
Yes, I am. I'm saying you don't know very much about Om Shinrikyo.
All right.
Okay. I could give you an Om Shinrikyo test on air right now.
No? That's a Japanese wrestler, right?
Oh, yeah. So Om Shinrikyo is this Japanese death cult, and so she's doing a series on them, and she has asked me to come in and talk about some of the stuff, especially the science behind the chemicals that
they use. She only invited you because she knows you're a grave robber.
Yeah.
She just wants your experience.
So I was like, this is awesome. I love this topic. I'm going to go research it a bunch. So I went to go get as many books on Om Shinrikyo.
You get to go research it. If you're, now you come armed to this. Oh, I can quiz you.
That's right.
Like, it just got brought up right now. And
I'd still be able to quiz you. Regardless, so I went to go get a bunch of books at the library. And San Diego.
You don't understand the research today. He joined the cult.
Yeah.
Okay? He's a member.
How deep does this go?
And by the way, if you ever wanted to hear something interesting, check out Paige's cult when it comes out of Om Shinrikyo. It's a crazy death cult that was run by a fat, completely broke, blind Japanese guy who ended up becoming a billionaire. Most successful terrorist in history that killed hundreds of people.
Well, now you don't need to listen to the episode. Good. I hope that gets the least amount of listens in our whole history.
It's so fucking interesting.
With Bobby.
It's so fucking interesting.
No offense, Paige. We love you.
But I went to go do it. And so I went to the San Diego Library. Now, San Diego has invested hundreds of millions of dollars into this beautiful downtown central library.
Yeah, great building. It's like 12 stories tall. When
it's
I first
huge.
Saw it, I didn't know what it was. It's like the top is like really well designed. There's like a globe.
There's
and
a
like
giant
all this
dome on the top.
Metalwork.
Metal
it's really fucking cool.
And if you go inside, it's unbelievably gorgeous. Their resources are crazy. If you're a researcher, the amount of materials they have, literally, like, I think it's like 8 floors of actual
books.
It's
like a whole wing for the Ocean Rishi, whatever cult you were just talking about.
That's right. So it's a beautiful thing. And I went down there. I was so saddened. I feel the way you feel when you go to a place you think is nice and there's a whole bunch of like drug addicts passed out in the middle of it.
Like if when you walk into a green room and there's kids.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know. So I walk in this
You're describing
place.
The first time Bobby visited my house. Like, from the outside, nice. But you walk in, whoa, opium den.
You will never find a more wretched hive.
So I went in there and it is just homeless people. That's it. Like it is hundreds upon hundreds. And I'm not talking about like the fun homeless people with the bindle like that you get from cartoons.
Those are hobos, please.
I don't know that they're that fun either. I don't know where you're getting that from.
Also, you don't know their story. Yeah, they could have been in Vietnam.
These are the dredges of society. These are like the worst of the super
you're
drug
talking
addicts.
About inside the library?
Inside the library. Completely everywhere. They have camped out in on the computer desk.
They're burning the books for warmth, like Fahrenheit 451.
They have like 10 or 15 satchels with them that they're walking around with. I'm like surprised there's not shopping carts just being pushed through the middle of it. It is one of the most beautiful buildings with some of the most fantastic literature resources on earth. That it's just a giant homeless shelter.
Hang on. is he education shaming the homeless? Like, he doesn't want them to read. He doesn't want them to learn things. He's do not improve your station in life.
There could be some reading. I saw very few. I saw a lot of them on the computers or passed out in the chairs and couches that you're supposed to be using for reading.
Yeah.
And listen, I get it. We have a huge homeless problem. We have one of the worst homeless problems in the country. We need to get shelters going. We need to find a way. I'm not saying I'm like, oh, fuck these homeless people. What I'm saying is we have found a way to screw ourselves out of everything because we don't get a library or a homeless shelter. We get this stupid halfway point in between. Like, what we need is to get money and to get some actual shelters up and then to have some rules out front, like, hey, if you have 8 bags or more, you're not allowed inside, or must have bathed within the past 2 weeks. Like, just anything to stop it, because what it ends up being is now you can't bring a kid in there, especially now with the hepatitis A outbreak going through the homeless population right now. You cannot bring a kid into that library. I felt weird just walking through myself. There are sketchy little corners and stuff where
felt weird you were wearing that hazmat suit.
Yeah. I walked into one when I was like looking for a book like in some kind of obscure stacks, and I walked into one where there's just like you walk into this kind of cool little niche room, except it's completely inundated with the worst gutter punk type homeless schizophrenics you've seen, and you're like, oh shit, I'm in the middle of a downtown library. I feel super unsafe right now.
Sure.
You can't have kids wandering around the place. And we've just shot ourselves in the foot because since the Reagan era, when we closed down a lot of mental hospitals and just kicked the people out on the streets, we've just been cycling homeless people around like, hey, find a place with a good climate. San Diego will be nice. And then go live downtown. That place is a shithole for now. What will happen? What, will they redevelop it? And then,
instead of doing anything, they just bulldoze the tent city that they set up.
Yeah. Like,
all right, go scatter.
Yeah.
Go find something else.
We've just screwed ourselves because it wouldn't cost that much to open up a shelter, but we spent hundreds of millions of dollars on this library that is now not a library nor a shelter.
Bobby, can I just say one thing? You don't know Reagan's story. He was in a standoff with the Russians,
okay? The best president this country has ever
seen. He was in an arms race. You think he had time for all these hospitals?
He was in an arms race with the mentally disabled.
He needed to liquidate those hospitals to get more missiles. Come on, man.
Why can't we just put all the homeless in Qualcomm? Nothing's happening.
Or, yeah, that's a great idea, actually.
Or green rooms. I mean, green rooms are open.
But
no, he already said the kids feel unsafe. You can't kick the kids out of the green room.
Yeah, fuck that kid.
It's just one of those stupid things. It's like, I don't know if you've ever seen this driving around. Sometimes you'll drive around and you'll see like a 15-year-old Honda Civic. I've seen this before, like the wagon, but with the back cut off and they've turned it into a makeshift pickup truck. And you're like, that does neither of the jobs you wanted to do.
Yeah.
You could, for the same price, you could have bought a shitty old Toyota pickup truck and been much better off.
Yeah.
That's what we've done with libraries. We've turned libraries into the Honda Civic makeshift pickup truck of our societies.
Is there a legit law right now? I wouldn't know because I've not tested it, where you can't go to a park anymore, like in a play area, unless you have a kid of your own with you.
I don't think that would be legal. Because
I think they're doing that right
now.
Yeah.
I think you have, and that's one of the problems with the homeless thing is how do you make
determine,
it?
Determine,
how do you do it? Because they are citizens and they do have some rights and they should be able to go in and do certain things, but they shouldn't be able to turn that into a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
And so you have to walk that fine boundary. I would just like to say, hey, listen, all of us who enjoy using a library, let's all pull together like $5 or $10 a month to open up a separate homeless shelter under the understanding that all the homeless people are no longer allowed to just live in the library.
Now, is the old library just an abandoned building right now?
I don't know what they've done.
Oh, put
they
turn
that one into the homeless shelter.
Right? Perfect fix.
Damn it.
Dude, I don't know about you guys. If you've ever had a thought like this when you see a homeless guy, I was over in Kearney Mesa. I was driving. It was a super hot day. I got up to 80 or 90. And I see this homeless guy just walking along the side of the road and just miserable from the heat. He's miserable. And my only thought was, where are you going right now? Like, what's going to be at the end of, why do you need to go now when it's so hot?
Yeah.
You could easily find some shade and camp out and have this little hike later on. Is there a pressing matter at the end of this road? And where are you going anyway? What's going to be different down there than wherever you're coming from? More cans?
Yeah.
Fucking stay put. Just stay where you are. Why?
Got to respect the hustle he's got, though, man.
Yeah, he has his like shirt around his head. He's like, I'm like, you don't have to be walking. Do you have a job interview? Well, I don't know his story. I don't know his story.
Going to the library downtown, I have been there a couple times. Cool. One of the reasons I don't like to go downtown in general is parking sucks down there.
It's horrible.
Sure.
I had to park in 30-minute zones and run in.
Yeah. And I want to bring that up because, Bobby, when we come to your house to record, you have a similar neighborhood to mine. It fucking impossible to park here.
So hard, especially
it's street parking.
And it depends what time of year it is, because we're near SDSU. So if school's in session, it is a fucking bitch to park near.
And a lot of weird, random red curbs here and there. And I actually read an article recently that said a lot of those red curbs are like people just painting.
Oh, the one
red
up the street is
on their own.
My neighborhood has ample parking, but we don't discuss why we're not doing the show there.
He doesn't let us over there. Yeah. He's like, limit on how often you guys can come over.
I would love to not leave my house for this.
But no, the red curb thing is a whole other story. It's like the city has no idea what's an actual red curb, so they just enforce all of it,
right?
Which is strange. But neighborhood parking, I want to ask you about that because you're our expert on vigilante justice.
Right.
I'm sure this happens to you in my neighborhood. A lot of times there'll be the curb between two driveways can fit two cars.
Yep.
And sometimes one car parks in the middle.
Right in the middle.
And I'm like, we all live here. We all know how shitty parking is. Why are you going to be a dick and take two spots? Is there a vigilante justice solution to that?
Well, what's funny, though, let's touch on this a little bit, because there is some interesting parts to it. One is, when you live in a neighborhood, you start knowing who drives what car. That just kind of becomes a thing. You see them going to their car or whatever.
Right.
So you can see that same person who drives that same Mazda parking super shittily every time. And then when you see him in person, there are times where you just want to pull him aside and be like, listen, right now your car seems fine or whatever, but what's your deal? What's going on? Is this like a weird narcissism thing?
Right.
Is this... Now, I always try and give the person the benefit of the doubt for this reason. I have had so many instances where that has happened. Let's say it's a, like you've just described it, it's a spot that can hold two cars. And I come up and there's a motorcycle parked in such a way that I have to park in the middle. That motorcycle leaves and all of a sudden I look like an asshole,
right?
There's no way I could have parked there with another car there. But man, now that I do the math, oh shit, there could have been a situation where that guy parked responsibly and he's just screwed.
Right.
So I always try and give the person the benefit of the doubt. But sometimes you see it happen. You see the person just casually pull in. Oh, fuck, two spots? Fuck it, park right in the middle. I like to have some luxury room. I want to be able to get to my trunk easy. It becomes one of the things where you have to look and be like, is this narcissism? Is it a complete lack of understanding that other people exist in the world?
Well, there was a situation recently where I saw it, and I wanted to say something to the guy, but going back to Ryan's point, like people, and I don't know what it is now, but like people don't like being confronted about shit.
Yeah.
They feel like they're being shamed. So even if you were to be nice to the guy, like, hey, I feel like they would get all aggressive. Like, what the fuck is your brother?
Yeah.
Like,
you don't tell me what to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm just trying to help out everybody.
Yeah. Because also, by the way, it's not just you they're screwing when they do that. When you come by and you're like, oh shit, okay, now I have to park a block and a half away. Well, that means the next person has to park 2.5 blocks away.
Right.
It's like, it's a chain of events that you're screwing of people in your own neighborhood.
And I've done before, I've gotten to the point of frustration where I've left notes on cars before and they were nice. I was like, hey, we're all neighbors. If you parked a little better, we could fit on the car, whatever, something like that. I don't know if that has any effect, though, because I don't fucking track all the cars.
No, they probably posted that on Instagram, like, look at this asshole.
Exactly. So, like, what's the vigilante justice solution?
So we have talked before. We talked about the time where this went to the extremes in my neighborhood, where a guy actually parked right in front of me, parked blocking my driveway, got out of his car to go into the apartment complex. And I was like, hey, what are you doing? He said, don't worry, I'll just be a minute.
Yeah, I remember.
And that became an issue with cops involved, and there was a whole nine yards. But
whatever became of that?
Nothing. He was just to catch up everybody. I sat there and was like, wait, what the fuck? As he went into his apartment building, driving away, actually to come to do this podcast back when we filmed at Madhouse. And I was driving away, and then I was like, No, I can't let this is unacceptable.
You did your Tiananmen Square stance.
I pulled my car over and then started walking down the street as he was coming back out. He gets in his car real quick and starts coming towards me. I tried to stop him. He slows down and I reach in to kind of like talk to him in his car, and he peels out. He claims I hit him. I absolutely did not hit him. He gets out, starts screaming and talking shit, and I got into his face and had the greatest exchange ever. And it was fantastic because my brother-in-law got to see it, where I just mocked him incessantly. Like, the great part when you're facing somebody who's very physically unintimidating, you're just kind of like a chubby dude who was bigger and like he had a tattoo on his arm. It was like, Barrett, is that your last name? Did you tattoo your last name on your arm? What the fuck do you... What, are you an athlete? You chubby little bitch. You're just advertising the shame of your family every time you walk around. Your dad must be so ashamed. Just mocking him incessantly. He got super pissed and called the cops. Eventually,
for being shamed?
Well, because he
said... See, this is the bully thing. Going back to the bully thing. Someone was mean to me. I'm calling the police.
He's never been bullied before.
I mocked him so much. I mocked him while he was on the phone with the police. I was like, hey, guys, I know you have some better stuff to do, but chubby over here is a little intimidated. And he got so pissed. It was great. He called the cops. The cops came. They talked to him. Turns out the nursing home near my house has security camera footage, so they had videotape of the whole thing. The cop came over. We watched it and laughed together.
Oh, nice.
And then later when I saw that guy, I informed him that the cop and I had laughed at him.
What did he say?
He was super pissed. He tried to get them to press charges, and the cops wouldn't do it.
So, nice.
But anyway, so it can happen to the extreme where people will literally do that. And I have been thinking since then, yeah, how do you do it? Now, I've already advised if there was a repeat offender who was acting in an incredibly dickish fashion, you could use the U-lock technique that I talked about a few weeks ago. That's always a good one. Put U-locks on their wheels because can't get them off. You can use the
and
dog
parking is fucked forever. Great solution.
Yeah. Use dog poo underneath the... Well, you put a note on it that says this will happen every time you park like this. You put dog poo underneath the door handle. Similar thing. Little note. This will happen every time you park like this. I like the subtle things. I think I like things that are non-destructive, where you're not actually costing them money. You're costing them time and resources because that's what they have cost you, you know? Okay. So you put something...
Real Hammurabi over here. Yeah. Punishment fits the crime.
Yeah. What used to be an interesting one, and I never actually did this, but I kept thinking of doing it because when we lived here, I used to have a motorcycle and my wife had a scooter. So we used to joke around that we would wait for them to do that and then pull both of our things just inches away from their car because they might have taken up two spots with their car and thought, nobody can park near me. Oh, yeah? I'll park right on your fucking bumper and box them in. But we figured they'd probably just move the bikes at that point. Anything you can do to cost them time. Another would be, you know that stuff that you can buy that does not hurt your windows, but you buy it around Christmas time.
C4.
And it makes your windows look like it has like snow or frost around the outsides of it. It's basically a spray that makes your windows look like they're frosted over. That does not hurt your windows. You can buy it super cheap on January 1st once Christmas season is over. Go out and stock up on it. Just spray it all over their windows. It's not going to cause them any damage, but they have to spend the next 20 minutes wiping their windows clean so before they leave.
Or they have to drive to work with a big dick on the side of their car.
Yeah.
So obviously risking the possibility that they'll see you and that will escalate into whatever situation. But it seems like the consensus is from both of you guys is there's no civil way to address this.
No.
It becomes hard because there are sometimes you could just make a mistake, right? We've all done that. Yeah. I've done that before where I parked shitty, didn't realize it until I was coming back to my car and I was like, oh, what an asshole I am. So you have to leave allowances for the fact that this person isn't doing something negligent or they were just having an off day or something like that. It's the repeat offenders that I think you go after. And at that point, if they're a repeat offender, they're not going to give a fuck if you say something. Oh, like, that's the whole point.
By the way, if we all make a mistake, fuck the people that won't accept an apology that when you are the one that made the mistake. I was at the grocery store. I pulled in. I just absentmindedly pulled in. I guess I took a space from a woman that was trying to get it, that was probably waiting for it.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking, she pulls up, reading me the riot act, like, you motherfucker. And I went, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. In fact, I'll move back out and give you that space. I hate when people do that to me. Fuck you,
she
you
was so invested in her rage at that point.
No, she had already come up with a little script in her head that someone... And that's what gets me so enraged because I'm like, you fucking... I never get apologized to.
Yes.
Ever. I've never been apologized to.
And when
my
you
whole
do,
life, 32 years, zero apologies.
And when you do, I've had it happen. I've had people apologize to me. I feel way better after that apology than if nothing had happened. Like all of a sudden that negative situation is out. I'm walking through the supermarket just smiling like I get apologized to.
Yeah. The fact that I'd be like, I did not realize I did that to you. I'm so sorry. I was in the wrong. I'll make it right. And she is just, you think the world revolves around you. I'm like, obviously I didn't, but you know, fuck you back. Fuck you back. I'm gonna kick your tire.
It's one of my favorite non-fight stories from college was we were in our college bar and somebody took offense to something that I had done. Again, one of those
yelling the N-word.
Yeah, right. It was one of those situations where I had accidentally bumped into him without looking or something and
one of those things.
I was like profusely like, oh, I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry. Now, granted, I am literally there with like 16 of my buddies, including the doorman.
Okay.
And he does not realize this. So if I was a dick at any point, I'd just be like, let's get him. Like, right? Yeah. And this guy is
charge.
This guy is super aggressive. He's like, no, you fucking know what you did. You did it on purpose. And blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't do it on purpose. Let me go get you a drink. I'm going to buy you a drink. I didn't even spill his drink. I'm like, I'm just going to buy you a beer. Let's go do this. And he kept escalating. And I actually got worried that my friends were going to jump in and harm this person. And so the only thing I could think of to do at the time is I just hugged him. Like it was, he's yelling at me. He won't accept my apology. I was like, fuck it. And I just hugged the guy and he just like stops because it's such an instant reset of what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
And he just stopped and he was like, what? I don't. And I was like, I'm just so sorry, bro. I'm gonna go get you a beer and walked away. So he just stood there doing that mumbly thing to yourself where you like don't know what just happened. He was like, oh, you stepped on my shoes.
All right, let me tell you what was going on there, Bobby. First of all, you don't know his story.
All right.
So, but let me tell you what was going on, because you are more of a evolved human being than I am. We both have fight backgrounds, but yeah, I'm more of a primate than you are, and I understand that. I'm telling you right now, he had fight blue balls.
Yeah.
And is what happened. You don't get those, I don't think. But I have in the past where I get all fucking charged up and the dude's nice about it. Now, I will disarm with that, but it'll still leave me with like a, I really was planning on throwing down.
Right.
Oh, I got no outlet for this. Oh, none at all. And I guarantee you hadn't been laid in over a week.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God. And there was no getting laid on the horizon either. So he just had this ball of energy that was fighting to get out of his system. And now the fucking guy who was ready, he wanted to fight before he walked into that bar.
100%.
I know that too.
Yeah.
And now, thankfully, I'm no longer like that. But there were some times in my early 20s where I left the house like, yeah, I'm going to fight tonight.
Yeah.
And it's stupid. That's retarded. But it exists, and that's where that guy was.
And that
I can guarantee it.
And while that wouldn't have been a great move for him, both because of the fight background and the fact that there was had a whole army of people there with me, on the surface, he had actually picked a great target, because it was in the middle of fight season, so I think I was down to like 172 pounds. You know, I was just a skinny fucking white dude walking around like an asshole. I looked like a great target.
Sure, sure, and that's probably what he did too.
Yeah.
All right, let's call a week. Before I do, though, some chances to see me and all of us together. February 10th, I'll be in Hollywood, California at the Sycamore Tavern. That's February 10th in Hollywood at the Sycamore Tavern. On February 23rd, I'm at the Main Tap back here in El Cajon. On March 1st, I'm at the Baybridge Brewing Company. I am doing a show for our good buddy Rob from AIDS Life Cycle.
Huh.
All those proceeds go to charity, so check out March 1st at Baybridge Brewing. On March 9th, I'm at the Comedy Palace in Kearny Mesa. And then March 15th, we are all back together at The Landing. We talked about that show.
Please come out. Please.
Yes.
You could come to one show in the next few months, please come to this show.
If there's one show that I'm going to plug until we actually do it, it's going to be The Landing. As many of you that could get out there, that would be fantastic. That'll be all three of us March 15th at The Landing.
And I'm legitimately curious about our listenership. I have a show Thursday, February 8th in Albuquerque, New Mexico. If anybody listens to this podcast lives in Albuquerque, please come to the show and say hi to me after. I just want to know if we have any listeners out there.
That'd be fantastic.
And if we have any in San Marcos on that same date, February 8th, I will be at the Inland Tavern in San Marcos.
Albuquerque is much more interesting than San Marcos.
Yes.
And almost the same
drive.
We have
listeners in San Marcos? Whoa!
You heard Ryan. He's daring you San Marcos listeners to come out on February 8th. You know what?
Yeah.
Actually, he's really daring our Albuquerque listeners to fly to San Marcos on February 8th.
Yeah. God. all right, so I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos. These little retard Mexicans in there, little piss ants, fuck them, I hope they die.
Yeah.
Ooh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Ooh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.
Get up and walk, you lazy piece of shit.